We're really on our second to last class in this long exploration. The afterwards we're going to do a review and Q&A and whatever. This is like in terms of curriculum, in terms of source sheets. But really what we've been exploring really for the majority of the time is Baruch Atah Hashem, right? Elokeinu. That's what we really experience when we start speaking about what does it mean when we say Anochi Hashem Elokecha? What does it mean when we say, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzicha Meretz Mitzrayim. What does Anochi mean? What does Hashem mean? What does Elokecha mean? Right? And then we spoke about, you know, after that exploration, that long exploration, and we really kind of figured out the concept, the different facets of Judaism, whether it's panentheism or monotheism or God is a transcendent and immanent and omnipotent and all those different great names that nobody really cares what they mean because the Hebrew is the best. We've really experienced that there's a shleimus and ishtalmus reality, that God, the ultimate perfection, has a possibility to choose to be good. We are that part of the godliness that has the possibility to choose to be good, because the ultimate, the Ein Sof is beyond that choice, because he's beyond any making of choices. And we kind of live in a world that has a constriction. God constricted his light in order to allow us to live in a world where there's an illusion that we're on our own, so we can actually choose to be good. Because if there was no illusion that we're on our own and we always felt God and saw God's presence, then there would be no question of our choice. We would just do what he says, right? If my finger is conscious of my finger, it has no brain on its own, it's totally connected to me. But if my finger had any sort of illusion, if I could inject it with some oxytocins or, you know, something to give it a sense of that it's its own thing, then it might choose to do things differently. So the Gra in his Siddur says that when we say the Tevot, the words in davening, we're going to say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. What do we mean when we say Melech Haolam? Hanaga mitalemet ve'enena rak b'machshava. God's presence is hidden, and it's only in our thought. Vehu the toelet abchira, and this is to allow us to choose. Ki al yedei zeh nitan lanu abchira lekayem mitzvot. Because only because God's hidden and he's not in present, we have the choice to do the mitzvahs. Ki ba'et she'anu mekayemim pikudav tzrichim anu lachshov she'anu po'alim ha'mitzvah hazot mikochenu. Right? Because when I choose to do a mitzvah, I have to choose to do it as if I'm doing it. Right? If I sit there and say, well, if God wanted it to get done, it will get done. Right? That's the Sdom reality, right? The Sdom and Amora, their whole philosophy was what? If God wanted to save this person, he'd do it. We don't have, no doctors are allowed on the premise, right? If God wanted somebody to not be poor, then he would do it, right? And therefore, they had the Sdom. Sdom was like the anti-synthesis of the reality of saying, you know what? If God wanted to be taken care of, he would do it. And man's, and our Torah teaches us that God wants us to choose to be godly, therefore to choose to act on behalf of God. But we have to choose to do it on our own. And that's why God is hidden. And when we say God is Melech HaOlam, he is the king of the world. But the only way for him to be king is by allowing us to choose to be his people. So it says, Ki zed dvar hane'elami itanu, ech kivyachol hu asa imanu biyachad mitzvot. Really means, it's really interesting. You know? God is doing the mitzvot with us. And how can that happen? How does it really happen? God removes himself and allows us to choose to do it, right? Because if he was there, then we would be overpowered, right? When your mom is sitting and looking at you eat, then you're using your fork and knife. You don't really, you know, you're not really choosing because he's really on top of you. But, you know, if you're on your own, you're in college and, you know, you do whatever you want, that's a different reality. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, lichora, Kadosh Baruch Hu removes himself in order to allow us to choose to become good, because we are the side of divinity that has the option to choose godliness, to choose good, right? Because he is ultimately good, so therefore he cannot choose kivyachol to be good. We're the side of him that can choose to be good because of this illusion reality where he is not present. Okay. Yadua ki ba'atzilut yesh orot ve'kilim. In the higher, lofty worlds, there are also lights and vessels. Ve'inyan kvar bi'arnu lanu rabenu, right? In the Arizal already taught us. She hem ratzon v'yacholot. What are the light and vessels. In this world, there are light and vessels, right? The vessel is the cup, and the light is the water, right? The vessel is the light bulb, and the light is the illumination that's in it. What is the light and vessel in the upper worlds? And that is desire and ability. Okay? I can desire all day to fly, yet I can't fly, right? And then, and therefore, if a person desires something, he needs to have the ability to put it in. Da'inu kol pe'ula yesh ratzon kodem la, v'gam yesh yacholet, da'inu kivyachol lemalot v'lashlim ratzono, v'hu ratzon hu ha'or v'yacholet hu ha'kli. God's desire is good, and we are the vessel that performs it, right? We are the vessel that performs God's will. Our will is God's will, right? So it's not a world where God is standing on top of us and telling us, you need to do this, and we have to, you know, like the religious person who's like checking off the list and saying, you know, I need God in my corner because one day I'm going to, you know, really be screwed and I'm going to need God to come and bat for me. So in order to keep God in my corner, I'm paying in my dividends. I'm keeping him in by doing these mitzvos. That's not how life works. You are part of the divine. You are godly. What part of the godliness are you? The one that can choose to be good. Because he is already ultimately good. And therefore his desire for good to be manifested in its fullness, which is also to choose to be good, that is you. So you are doing ratzon. What does it mean when you do ratzon Hashem? What's ratzon Hashem? You're not that you're fulfilling God's will. You are creating God's will by doing it. You are the part of God that desires, right? God does not desire. God is all perfect. We are the part of God that has a desire. And when we desire to become good, we are connecting to that part of God that we call God's desire. Yes?
Can you expand a little bit more the difference between fulfillment and creating? I'm a little confused.
So what's the difference between the human beings and the animals, right? I can't say a dog's a good dog. God's not a good dog. A dog's a trained dog. He's trained. He's not good. He's either trained to do something or he's not going by his training. He doesn't have a choice at the matter, right? He has an animal instinct that pushes him in a certain direction and he knows that I'm going to give him a reward when he does it. So he does it. He's not good. He's just animal, right? You as a human being have a choice to make, right? So in our relationship with God, the whole world is God's creation, right? They don't have a will. Animals, trees don't have will. They're just growing in the way the nature was given to them. Human beings have a choice. We have a choice to make. We can become godly and we can not become godly. So we are not part of the creator from the creational side. We are part of the creator from the desirable side. Because when you desire something, you need to have a choice in the matter. Okay? Ratzon, as Chazal point out, comes from the root ratz, which is to run. Right? When you run, you are choosing to not walk, right? So the difference between walking and running is that when you're running, you have 2 feet off the ground at a certain point, right? You're defying nature. You're above nature. You're not part of this natural world, the natural order. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, we are the side of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that desires, right? So when we do Ratzon Hashem, we are doing the desire of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? In a different manner, for the sake of lost my train of thought there. Okay, we'll get back to it. So it says like, Kiaz bevaday haratzon Hashem hu be'asiyat ha-mitzvos. God wants us to do the mitzvos, right? Meaning that's our desire. Aval ayecholet shehem hakelim kanemar le'ayil kivyachol en biyecholto la'asot ha-mitzvot. Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol, right, so to speak, can't do mitzvos. Why?
Because you're perfect.
Right, because mitzvos are where I connect my desire to the ability to do it, right? The kli and the vessel. Now, when Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he's all perfect, there's no separation between desire and action, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu desires something. That desire formulates directly. We are the side of Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the mitzvot to be done because the mitzvot are the manifestation of it, right? So, for example, electricity. Does electricity want there to be light bulbs? Yes, why? Because if there are no light bulbs, electricity can only manifest itself in a certain way, right? The more we create electrical appliances, so intricate and so diverse, we are manifesting electricity in ways that can't even be fathomed, right? If we're talking, go back to Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb, and we tell him that electricity is now manifested not only in light bulbs, but in this and this, and we like to blow his mind. It'd be crazy. Electricity does light bulbs, right? No, but electricity can also create hot water and cold water in the same machine. Wait, but those are the opposites. All the molecules, what's going on there, right? And forget about that. You know what a microwave does? Electricity can manifest itself in a way that it moves waves that are cooking stuff inside. What? That's crazy. Without even heat? No, just microwave, just waves, right? The more electricity can manifest itself into things, the greater it is. So electricity wants light bulbs to exist, wants the mitzvos, but electricity cannot become light only through the vessel. See, if there was no people in the world, how would God manifest himself in the world? The more we exist and the more we bring God into the world, the more God manifests into the world, right? The word, the concept that we hear so much time, Chilul Hashem. What does Chilul Hashem mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Chalal means a void. A void. A void. Chilul Hashem is when you create a void of Hashem. Where you've, instead of being able to manifest God, instead of being Kiddush Hashem, what's Kiddush? What was Kadosh? We said transcendence, right? So instead of God's name transcending into this cup, I've created this cup as void of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because instead of drinking this by saying, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, I know that you are the transcendent and the panentheistic and the omnipotent and this, and you are the king of the world, and you are only king by virtue of choosing us to be your people to reign over, right? Because there's no king without a people. Then I've transcended your name into here. Right? I can live in a world that is void of God, or I can live in a world that's full of God. Right? We said this, I think, in the last senior learning, that if you want to live in a godless world, that's your choice. That's your choice. But there are consequences to every choice you make. You're making a choice that you're living in a godless world, and therefore you have nobody to turn to when humanity fails you. And you have nothing to do when it's out of your control. That's it. You're just stuck. You've just constricted yourself. You choose that. That's your choice. Our job is to bring God into this world. And a king can only be a king over who he is. Whoever chooses him to be king, right? So if Kadosh Baruch Hu is king also over nature, but now he's not a king over nature. He's a tyrant over nature. He's a monarch over nature. Why? There was never a choice. They don't have a choice in the matter. Tree has no choice in the matter. Human beings have a choice. That's why they're so unpredictable, and it's so difficult for God. And the angel said, God, this is a bad thing to do. Why are you journeying on this journey? And God has this whole argument with the angels for so long. Because it's only when we choose him as a king is he a king. Until then, he's a monarch. Right? Until then, he's a tyrant. And when Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the freedom to perceive him or not perceive him, he's creating a world where now he's king. Just take that one, push that down. Yeah. Okay. Six. וכל זה בסוג אחד שהם עניינים הנוגעים לבחירה, אבל הסוג הבית הם ענייני העולם הזה, וכל הדברים שאינם נוגעים לבחירה, הכל בידו של הקדוש ברוך הוא, כרצון והיכולת שלו, שהם אורות וכלים, הכל הוא גמור, כידוע, כאצילות, גם אלו הכללים אצילות. Right? So what we're saying now is that this is what we mentioned before, right? God is a king over the Jewish, over the people, over the human beings, because they chose him, and he's a monarch over nature, because they didn't choose him. Right? So only where there's a Bechira is there a king. God is only king over those who can say, you are my king. Nature can't say God's their king. That's why God's not their king. God's just their creator. The word king, right? The word king is the ability for something to reign over. Right? And something reigns over based on if you decide to put yourself underneath that reign or not. Right? You can totally be somewhere else. Right? So it says, so furthermore, והכלים, דהיינו, היכולת ניתן לאדם, ונראה כביכול כאילו אין ביכולתו לעשות פעולת המצווה ההיא רק על ידי כלי אדם. And כביכול, it seems that God can't do, send that to Tov.
You pay for the one.
You can get refunded. That's your fault.
You pay for it?
It's your fault.
Why would you do that, Max?
I have no idea.
He didn't know. It's a duchuva.
Max, you can take one of the cards and just come back and
everything in life is a lesson.
That will be problematic. I think that will be problematic. Samson will be confused. All right. Everything's in the eyes of Hashem. Everything's in God's control except for what? Your perception. Right? Your perception. You can choose to do this as part of something bigger. You can choose to do it as part of something on your own, right? But those actions you're going to do anyway. You're going to drink anyway. You can't choose not to drink. That's choosing to die. Fine, that's a choice. But that's not what we call bechira. But you can choose to drink as part of something big, or you can choose to drink as something very narrow and very constricting as part of only my life and my perception, right? I can say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bedvaro, and use this water as a ability, as a tool to connect to the greatness of God, or I can do it as just my own personal thing, right? So Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mirat Shamayim. Nature doesn't have a king. Nature has a monarch. Jewish people have a king. That's what when we say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu, we've explored for a long time what all that part of the pasuk means, of the bracha means. We say Melech Haolam, you are the king of the world, because we choose to perceive you as a king. We have the bechira to choose to perceive you as a king, and therefore you are our king. Okay. Doi says Rav Tzadok Machshavot Charutz Tzarich Sheyeda Shehashem Yitbarach Hu Haoseh Hakol. Bekerev haaretz, velibot bnei adam de beemet en od milvado, vegam kol maasenu paulat lanu, vekol ze hu shechashuv shehu chokhmato vegvurato veosro, haynu mitzad hishtadluto vebechirato hatova, veze mitzad haolam haze shebo hitgalut habechira, kilu adam poel nifrad mehashem yitbarach. Right? In this world, we only have an illusion that I'm doing things on my own. Really, if I had the broader perspective, I would see that I am a manifestation of God. Right? But I am the manifestation of God that is living in an illusion that I'm on my own, so I can choose. Because I'm the part of God that can choose to be divine. Right? To choose to be godly. So in this whole world, I have everything's Beidei Shamayim. I am a manifestation of God. The only thing I can choose is what? Kol Beidei Shamayim Chutz Miyirat Shamayim. What's Yira? Chazal teaches the same letters as Re'ia. What's Re'ia?
Seeing
myself as part of heaven, part of the grand scheme of things, right? I can see myself as part of the team, or I can see myself as on my own ego trip, right? If I see myself as part of the team, then the way I'm conducting myself and the way I'm doing things are as greater things, right? Now, everything's in my hand. You're right? Everything is in the eyes of the coach, except ourselves part of the team, right? Coach can draw up the plays, but Even Ty Lowe can't convince LeBron that he's part of the team, right? LeBron is his own person. He's his own manifestation. Right? David Blatt can't handle that, right? So at the end of the day, everything's in the hand of the coach. He can choose the plays. He can't choose for you if you're part of the team. That's your choice, right? And if you choose to do that, then you're a great person. And if you choose not to perceive yourself as a part of a team, then there are consequences. Then you're living in a teamless world. And there might be I and win, but there's no I in team. So what we're seeing here in Reb Tzadok is that this concept of Melech HaOlam is a concept that allows me to choose to be part of something bigger, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu itavati v'derev v'tachtonim. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted there to be a dwelling place down here. Why? Because up there there's no glory, right? There's no commitment, no glory, no pain, no gain. In the Shemayim, there are no, and we explore this, there are no problems, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to get the Torah, and the angels say, why are you giving in the Torah? And God says to Moshe, answer! And Moshe says, you guys have parents that you need kabet avicha v'temecha? You have desires that he says that you need to know lo tignov? The Torah wasn't written for you. The Torah is davka written for people who are struggling. If you're not struggling, if you're totally fine, if you're living on a beach somewhere and you have no struggles and no desires or no aspirations, the Torah is not for you. That's why we don't think the Torah is for everyone. We don't go doing crusades. We don't do jihads. We don't convince everybody that they have a problem. Person who's looking for meaning in life, come. The Torah will teach it to you. But God will give you meaning. Won't take away your problems. Give you meaning. But if a person, but we're not going to every single tribe in Africa and telling them that they are suffering and they need to accept a Jesus in order for their life to be better. Because if you're not missing anything, then it's not for you. It's not for you. It's not for you. But if you're trying to always constantly become better and trying to become godly and you're trying to find meaning in life, and this is the manifesto of how to become better. You don't want to become better, go to the minor leagues. That's fine. The major leagues, this is how we do it. Yeah.
So why did God go to other nations like when he wanted to give the commandments to them as opposed to other people?
Why wasn't he
just set on one? He was going out of his way to go to other nations to give them.
Right. So first of all, the Torah is for everyone who is lacking something. Judaism is universal, but we don't teach it to people who are not ready for this, right? Because if I'm going to go to some person who's living on some island and telling him, you know, you're part of God. And I mean, we know what happened 2,000 years ago when somebody said, I'm a child of God, right? People like misunderstood that, right? We're all children of God. We're all a part of God. You're saying, wow, I'm divine, you're divine, everybody's divine. So the first generation hears that as everybody's divine. The next generation was only heard, so-and-so said he's divine. And by the fifth generation, so-and-so is divine, and he's the only one that could save us. No, we're all divine, right? So there's a sense of connection, right? So if we believe in Judaism, that if you're ready, if you want to take upon yourself, great. But at the end of the day, you know, every single person who has this desire. Now, also according to Chazal, God went to nations knowing they'll say no, but knowing that individuals would jump ship and come to Har Sinai. And that's how, according to Kabbalah, according to the Arizal, we understand converts. Converts are people from those nations who jumped ship, came, heard the Torah at Har Sinai, and then went back to their families. And then 30, 40 generations later, all of a sudden we're like, wait, I'm Jewish. What? You're not Jewish. No, I'm Jewish. I feel it inside. How do you know? Right? So, because years ago, generations ago, I felt this calling. Right? So if somebody wants to, and he wants to, right? But if somebody came, people came up to me already in my 3 years here and said, I want to convert. And the answer is, why? Why? Just be a good person. Like, that's fine. That's what God wants of you. Right? And if they're saying, no, I really want, right? And it's like, but there's so much, right? If a person is really wants to choose to become godly, then fine, then there's a way to do it. But on the onset, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. Don't do it. Like, nobody's saying you're going to go to heaven. You can be a great person, right? Even if you're not Jewish. Yeah, Kobe.
How many people come up to you since you've been in Maryland?
Three.
Three?
Three. Wow. Yeah.
How many have gone through with it?
I mean, not that I know of, because I told them all.
What were their reasons?
Well, one person was, I don't know if you remember Kenny, my mailman. The mailman. We just have to talk. We used to talk about life and about everything. And he's like, wow, there's so much wisdom here. He's like, I need to join this people. And you know, I told him, you know, like, you know, before you know, God gave the Noahites, you know, seven commandments. And if you do that, then that's all God expects from you. And you're great. And you're a holy person. You're just as holy as anybody else. Why take upon yourself more? Right? You know, it's like that's focus on seven. Why take upon yourself another, you know, 606. Right? But at the end of the day, there's the real concept of converts in Judaism is a person who says, I want to be part of this family, right? This is what Ruth says to Naomi in Megillah Ruth, right? Amecha mi ve'elokai chelokai. First of all, amecha mi, right? Like, I want to be part of the Jewish people. I don't want the Torah, like, you know, it's a sense of belonging, sense of family. And that's a different conversation, right? But but at the end of the day, Melech HaOlam, right? So furthermore, it says, Ubiotam, we're in source number three, Ubiota Adam mit'ale, the second three, Ubiota Adam mit'ale al shorsho, mit'gale elav, ki gam itoruto v'avodoto hu min ha-shamayim. Right? There's lately migar meklum. God's ain't so. There's nothing. Even the power to choose and the ability, the desire to choose, right, is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the end of the day, I have to make the choice, right? So at the end of the day, we know Chazal say that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't help a person can't do anything, right? It's all you're all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I don't send any energy and any data from my brain to my hand can't move. My hand has no ability to move on its own. Right? But the only thing that my hand, Kivyachal, has is a choice to see itself as part of Yonatan or not see itself as part of Yonatan. Right? So when I set my hand out to pick up the cup, right? So, you know, now I'm picking up the cup and I'm bringing it to here, and my hand's like, oh, I want to go there. Right? Like, you are part of this greater thing. Right? If we live in a world where God's up there, somewhere over there, and he's telling me what to do, and I feel so small, why is he taking away my free will? No, don't you get it? He is empowering you. He is electricity, and you're the light bulb. The only thing you can see is see yourself as part of electricity, and therefore not be upset at cooling that is cooling down the room, and therefore taking away from your awesome heat. Or you can see yourself as part of this ego trip and say, "Well, you know what? I'm brilliant, and I'm light, and everybody else is stupid." And therefore, in the fact that now I have to dim myself in order to make the room a little nicer, that's stupid. I want to be as bright as I can. You'll be as bright as you can. You're gonna fry yourself, right? So do you see yourself as part of electricity? Do you see yourself as just, you know, on an ego trip of like, I want to be the most awesome light bulb, right? That can ever be. So furthermore, Rav Kook says, "Kol ma she'adam mekadesh yoter et ratzono u'ma'aleh oto l'mermei hatov, kacha zorechet bekirbo ha'ara shel hakara ve'elokut ha'elyona, she'yesod ha'elyon hu hakarat ha'shilton ha'atzmi ha'eloki b'chofesh gamur, li'otochin ha'ratzon ve'muchlat shel kol ha'tarim bo klalim." The more you expand your consciousness, the more you tap into freedom. The only reason you feel that there's a constriction in Judaism is because you feel somebody else is telling you what to do. So you don't feel free. You feel imprisoned. I want to eat pork, and somebody told me not to. The more you expand your will to understand that you're a facet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you understand that the only reason God told you not to eat pork is because you don't want to. That's not what you want. And you are now in a world where you have to choose to not want that. Right? And that's why, we read the Zohar. The Zohar said that when God spoke in Har Sinai, what did they hear? Themselves. It's infinite-year-old you talking to you. Right? The more you expand your consciousness, and this is something, you know, important. When was the last time, you know, we all sat here together? Well, none of us really all sat here together, because last time we all sat together, all the cells in our bodies were regenerated. So the only thing that really came together last time to this time is our consciousness. Right? So if you expand your consciousness, as Einstein told us, E=mc², that you've always been here. Right? You've always been here. You've been at Har Sinai. Right? Not with these cells, of course, because these cells weren't even here 3 months ago. Right? And E=mc². You expand your consciousness further, and you realize that infinite-year-old you is talking to you. And therefore, it's not a contract between me and him, and he's saying, forget about being a doctor. I'm telling you, it's all comp sci. It's all comp sci. Get out of law school. Go to comp sci, right? And then, you know, infinite-year-old you, why would you not listen to infinite-year-old you? Because obviously he has all the data, and he's telling you what you want, but you have to expand your consciousness to understand that that is your will. Because right now, you have to choose that. Right? Infinite-year-old you is already in Kamsai because everybody gets on the Kamsai boat in 40 years. He wants you to be on the boat early on so you get a good seat. But he's going to be there anyway. Right? Infinite-year-old you is going to get there. You can choose that this is to connect to this as your will, or you can choose that it's not your will and learn by trial and error. Right? Judaism has been teaching these ideas, and now almost every modern country in the world, their laws, 70% of their laws are the Torah. Right? 70% of the European Union and the American legislative system are parallel to the Torah. The world just learned it through trial and error. So fine, you can learn it. You can listen to 7-year-old, infinite-year-old you. Or you can just allow it to manifest. Okay? So, who wants to read the English? The Zohar in English. Shlomo, you can read the Zohar in English. Hopefully will help you clarify some things in your life.
By the way, I'm still waiting on hearing back from Rabbi Kalman's son about that translation. Anyways, we have taught that when the I was proclaimed, all those commandments of the Torah.
No, the one before.
One before.
It's both. It's two of them.
Oh, they're both Zohar.
But different pieces.
And you shall do/make them. After walk and keep have been mentioned, why does it also say do? Because he who makes the precepts of the law and walks in God's ways, if one may say so, makes him who is above. The Holy One, blessed is He, says, it's as if you made me. Similarly, it is written, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do charity and justice, to signify that he who keeps the ways of the Torah, as it were, makes charity and justice. And who are these? Hashem, blessed is He. Rav Shimon here wept and exclaimed, alas for mankind, that they know not and heed not the honor of their master. Who is it that makes the holy name every day is he who gives charity to the poor.
Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu only exists in the world when we bring him to the world. Make a Chil Hashem, we create a void of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're Mechal HaShabbos, we create a void of Shabbos. We make a Kiddush Hashem, we make Kiddush, right? And that was the whole Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook's Dvar Torah on Kadesh. Why does Kadesh go sanctify? Go make things holy. Go live your own. Now you're free, right? Why'd you do free? Kadesh, right? Go and sanctify the world, right? So we make God holy. Because there is no God in the world if we don't bring him to the world, right? God's not pushing his way into the world. When Avram Avinu searched for God, then God revealed himself to him. Before Avram Avinu searched for God, God was happy. I mean, I don't know, happy, but God wasn't doing anything. God was just in his heavens waiting for man to be ready to make him. Right? A king cannot be a king without a people. Till there's a people that choose him as a king, he's just a monarch. Next Zohar.
We have been taught that when the I was proclaimed, all those commandments of the Torah which are united in the body of the supernal holy king were comprised in it. For indeed, all the commandments have their unifying center in the body of the king. Some in the head, some in the trunk, some in the hands, and some in the feet. And none of them ever step out and become separate from the body of the king or lose connection with it. He, therefore, who transgresses against even one of the commandments of the Torah, is as though he transgressed against the body of the king, as it is written, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, as it were against my very self. Woe unto the sinners who break the words of the Torah. They know not what they do.
Right? So, we are, right? When a person does Avodah Zarah, what does he do? He makes the king subservient to the slave. You are part of God. You can't not become part of God. you are a manifestation of God, right? The two guys that are playing basketball in my head, they can't choose to not be part of the assimilation of the basketball in my head, right? Right? They can only choose to acknowledge that they're part of Yonatan's manifestation, or choose to think that they exist on their own, right? So what's very simple, when you decide to serve idols, you're taking you're part of God, you're taking part of God and making the master subservient to the slave. Okay? So God exists in your world as much as you let him. Because you are the part of God that chooses good, chooses godly. You can do everything you do as godless, that's fine, and then you won't have meaning for it. Or you can choose to perceive the world as you are on a mission, right? And you are empowered by God, and that's it, right? So a light bulb is going to still illuminate at 250 watt, whether it knows it's part of a manifestation of electricity, and whether it's not. The only difference is it going to be meaningful? Is the light illuminating the room? Is the light's brilliance meaningful or not? Imagine if a light bulb had consciousness of electricity. See how it would feel so connected all of a sudden to the music in the room, to the air conditioning in the room, to the clock that's ticking in the room. Because they're all empowered by electricity. All of a sudden, this whole room has a different context from the light bulb's point of view. Because it's all meaningful. We're all interconnected. But if not, then the only reason I'm scratching your back is because one day you'll scratch my back. And the only reason I'm serving electricity is because I know that if electricity stops giving me my light force, then I am no longer brilliant and I am just a dark light bulb. So I'm servitude. There is no servitude between you and electricity. You are a manifestation of electricity. You bring electricity into the world. You don't want a light, you don't want to turn on, that's fine. There will be less godliness in the world. There's less electricity in the world. You're creating a chilul electricity. Right? As a Navi in Yechezkel says, olam lo chashmal, a world void of electricity.
Who wrote that?
Yechezkel, the prophet.
What did he mean by chashmal then?
Well, he says chashmal is chayot esh mimalelot, little tiny fiery angels that are conversing with each other and creating. That's why that's where the term modern day chashmal is taken
comes from.
Yeah, of course. There are books, Kabbalistic books this thick called Sefer HaChashmal. It doesn't take up about modern day electricity, but if you read it and you read and you're learning modern day electricity, you feel like you're learning a textbook from school.
That would be electrical engineering.
Right, that's for sure. Electrical engineering and Sefer HaChashmal. Sefer HaChashmal literally talks about how like God's life force, God being E equals MC squared, the energy is manifested and translated into the most physical things, from the most lofty things, and big concepts of that, right? But there's nothing void of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Yudke Vavke, he is existence, right? And that's what it is. So we see here like this. The Tanya says, Shari Yichud Ve'emuna, V'nei sibat v'tam ha-tzimtzum v'ha-ester hazeh she'estir ve'helim HaKadosh Baruch Hu et ha-chayut shel ha-olam k'dei she'yeh ha-olam nir'eh davar nifrad b'fnei atzmo. God hides himself and conceals himself so the world seems as if it's its own entity. God created the world in order to reveal his kingship. There's no king without a people. Perush, im am milashon omemot, shem dvarim nifradim vezarim verechokim mimalat hamelech. Omemot, they're separate.
He made the world to reveal his kingship by making it its own separate.
Right, because there can only be a king if people chose him to be a king.
So make it together.
What? If Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, then we're not king. We're not his people. He is the monarch, and we are just in service to a so powerful being.
How do they explain Har Sinai then?
God, that's why I think it's Kafal and Magigid. That's Chazal explained Kafal and Magigid. And if you see Reb Nachman in Torah Kuf Tzadik about Nasa v'Nishma, God Kafal and Magigid. God forced the Torah upon them because He revealed Himself in such power that they had no choice but to receive it. Right, exactly. And that's why Am Yisrael say Nase v'Nishma, which is that we call ourselves Nase. And the Torah Kuf Tzadik and the Kutzim Maran, happy to send you a recording about that, where Am Yisrael literally say to God, we don't want this. We don't want you to reveal yourself, because then we have no choice. We want you actually to tell Moshe, and we'll choose to listen. Right? Moshe has no free will. That's a different thing. Rabbi Nachman addresses that also. Right?
Like Aaron.
Different. Tachlit briyat ha'isha yisraeli la'avod la'shem yitbarach. Why is man created? In order to serve God. As Arizal said, ki barak kol olamot liot nikra melech, ki en melech b'lo'am. God created the world in order for us to choose him as a king, in order to be part of the kingship. Right? There's a famous analogy in the Midrash that the king tells each person that he has to guard the city. Right? Everybody has to guard the city for 2 minutes. At the post, right? So every person says, till I get there, till I go there, let the guy stay another 2 minutes, right? And then the guy before me will come a minute earlier, right? And then nobody guards the post at all, right? Because every person says, well, it's only if you see yourself as part of the kingship, as part of the people, then you want to do, you want to serve, you want to be part of something. But if you see it, right? And as Kennedy once quoted the Arizal, don't ask what America can do for you. Ask what you can do for America, right? Don't ask what HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do for you. Ask what you can do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you really, and that's why it's so funny, Kennedy won with that, and in the millennial world, if anybody would use that, he would have got zero votes and antagonized every single millennial. What I can do for America? I'm the one that's deserving. What America can do for me? That's the question, right? But 40, 50 years ago, when people had integrity and people had a vision of something bigger, and not just looked into their own phone and saw the world through their own little perception and old narrow view, then there's something great, right? That's why Torah, this concept of God standing up there and forcing me to do things is not working. We have to understand that at the end of the day, the only person who's losing out when you don't live a Jewish life is you, right? And in a deep way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Because the only way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can manifest into the world is through you. Because you're the part of God that can choose to reveal godliness in the world. Because if God reveals himself, then there is no Bechira. That's why the Rambam says, and we've explored this, that miracles destroy faith. Every time, the Rambam proves in Morneh Nevuchim, every time God made a miracle, right after that, the Jewish people lose faith. It's like, every single time. Why? Because faith is not built by miracles. Faith is built by
relationship.
Experience, by relationship, by trying, by doing. That's something that we explored last senior learning was, Judaism has no concept of you have faith. Only in Christianity can you have paths of faith. In Judaism, it's ani ma'amin. I'm a believer. I'm building faith. Can't have faith. You can build faith, or you lose it, right? So, says, furthermore, Rav Tzadok, this is Kedushas Levi. Vatomer Tzion Azvani Adonai. Shem Adonai Morea al Midat Malchut. Vim Midat Malchut Wal Yedei Yisrael Shekiblu HaTorah Vekiblu Al Malchut Shamayim Ki En Melech Beloam Venimtza Yisrael Shekiblu Malchuto Hem Gormim Shehu Yeh Melech. When we receive God as a king, we create him as a king. He is not a king without us, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu is only Melech HaOlam when we choose him to be our Melech. I'm going to skip to 7. Ki Yadu HaShekol Mitzvot Mimitzvot HaTorah SheAdam Mekayem O SheOsek BaTorah UVetfilah Kulam Nesim Ktarim Lekono, Kimamar Kra Israel Asher Bechayet Par Shemasecha Nasim Pe'er Ve'Atara Leroshi. Every time we do a mitzvah, we put a crown on God's head, right? Because when we do a mitzvah, we bring God into the world. The pasuk says, "Va'imru lo echav ha'maloch timloch aleinu ha'mashol timshol banu v'yosifu od l'sno to al chalonota ve'al dvarav." Says the Ibn Ezra, "Was a maloch timloch aleinu ha'mashol timshol? Anachnu nimashchal melech, o ata timshol banu v'choska." Right? When Yosef said, when they said, "Amalochti mlochalein amshalti shalbanu," does that mean, are you going to be a monarch? Or is it going to be a democratic process? Are we going to choose you as king? Or are you going to force kingship over us? Right? That's what they're asking. What kind of a ruling is it going to be? Is it going to be grassroots? Are we going to choose you or not? Am Yisrael had to choose a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? There were four fifths that didn't come out of Egypt. They were did not choose a Kadosh Baruch as king. That's fine. And people always have a choice. Every kid has a choice when he is rebellious stage to not choose God as a king. That's fine. Don't choose God as a king. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu is wants you to choose him as a king. And when you choose him as a king, then everything that you do is empowered by the king. Right? There's a difference between a person who is a soldier and he's empowered by the government and by the president or whoever to bring justice to the world, and a person who is just a militia crazy person who decides to go and kill people, right? That's the difference between crazy retaliation and when the IDF goes and punishes, right? I can't allow just certain individual citizens to go and take matter into their own hands because they're not being empowered by the team, right? When the coach draws up a play and then you just say, "Forget about it. Give me the ball and I'll shoot." Might have won, but the team didn't grow. The team hasn't gone through some transformation. So So it says, furthermore, 9, תכלית הבריאה הוא האדם, וזה תכלית גילוי הכבוד, אשר יש האדם בעל בחירה, ונופו נוטה למקום טומאה, ואם כל זה כופה יצרו ואת אהבתו, בשביל כבוד שמיים, זה עיקר מקום כבודו של מלך מלכי המלכים. We say, מלוא כל הארץ כבודו. We say, הקדוש ברוך הוא ברא את העולם, אין, כל מה שברא, הקדוש ברוך הוא לא ברא אלא לכבודו. Right? What is כבוד הקדוש ברוך הוא? We are the כבוד of הקדוש ברוך הוא. We bring honor to הקדוש ברוך הוא, when even though everything in the world is pushing us towards being self-centered and egotistical and physical, we choose to be part of something greater. When everything is telling me, you shoot the ball, you shoot the ball, and I choose to follow the play that coach drew up, I'm bringing honor to the coach. I'm bringing honor to the coach. And you know what? And if we missed, that's fine. And if we lost, that's okay. Because as a team, we now are moving, growing together. But if I get the ball and my ego is telling me, you shoot, you get the glory, you do everything, I'm not bringing glory to the team. Even if I hit, all I did was bring glory to myself. Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim Tzarich Sheyeh Milat Echad. What are we doing when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad She'ein Shum Davar Chutz Imeno? Right? Hashem Echad. There's nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even my will, even my doing is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Skip with me to 20. Rav Kook says like this. Mishum Midat HaMalchut Leitle Migar Miklum. The Midat Malchus, right? Everything that exists in the world, our whole existence is within the sphere of Malchus, within the sphere of God's kingship. Because in the sphere of God's kingship, there needs to be some sort of illusion, of delineation, of a fragmented world where there is no God. So all of this physical world exists in Malchut. Within the world of Malchut, there's nothing on its own. This is the world that is most fragmented. But in the most broken world, there's what? There's the most opportunity of growth. Right? When I used to come home with my tests, my dad used to always say, there's only one way up. There's only up from here. There's only up from this grade. Right? So only from that place of such brokenness, that's a world that we live in, such brokenness.
What was the word that he said?
There's only up. You can only go.
What was the first word? Ali? What did you say?
Aliyah? What?
No, what did you just say? You said...
Doesn't matter. Okay. So Rav Kook is saying that's the whole idea. That the Yisaron, Yitaron, and Chisaron, the broken and the potential, are in the same realm. Ra'u Adam ze lisfog letocho et hakol. Man has the ability to take in everything. Kshu pone latov, to choose good. Umakir ech delet lemigar meklum. And understands that my choice right now to choose to do good, to be good, is not from me. It's all the empowering me, the part of God that's within me that wants to be good. I'm just choosing to be part of this journey. Harehu muchan liyot mimilo kol tuv. And then I'm filling myself with all that's good. Right? Shel kol hamidot, kol hatchunot, kol hatzadim, ve'en bo shum stira. When I am in this world of Malchut, I am the world that has the ability to crown God. Anochi, right? I am part of God. There's nothing but God. Hashem, omnipotent, transcendent, beyond this world. The whole world is within him. But we say Adonai instead of Yudkei Vavkei, because I can't fathom transcendence, so I say that he is my master in order to empower me to do good. Elokeinu, he is all the powers, right? So now God is not only, the whole world is not only is the world within God, but God is within every particle of the world. He's Melech Haolam. He is the king of the world because I chose to live in a world where there's a king. I chose to live in a world where I am empowered. Everything that I do is empowering. People that live without a king, they're doing whatever they're doing. Say it or miss. But I have a king. And therefore, when I do good, I am literally making the king greater. And when I do bad, chas v'shalom, creating a chil Hashem, creating a void of a king. I'm creating a world where the king does not able to be manifested. That's why in this world of Malchus, it's a world of fragmentation. It's a world of delineation. It's a world of choice. It's a world where I have an equal opportunity to choose to be good. And when I choose to be good, then I choose to be part of a bigger story. And if I choose to be good, not as part of a melech, then the most I've become is a good person. But when I choose to be good as part of godliness, then I'm kadosh, then I'm holy with a W. And that's what we're going to read very soon. Kadoshim to you, ki kadosh ani. Be holy, because I'm the most holy thing, right? Be part of the whole, because I am the whole. When you choose to be good as a desire to be holy, then you're making God holy. Then you are making HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kadosh. Should be Zochah.